Well, how many know what we've been studying lately? Hallelujah. We've been looking at the book of 1 John, and we're seeing some different things. And, of course, there's some strong similarities between 1 John and the book of John. And John here is bringing the teachings, and he holds strongly to what Jesus said in Matthew 28. Remember at the end of Matthew 28, Jesus says, go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to be with you always, but I want you to teach them or disciple them and remind people of the things that I have said. And John is very diligent to remind us of the things that Jesus had said. He didn't forget. You know, right in the first verse, he said, this is that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. I saw him, I heard him, I felt him, we've touched him, I know him. He's coming from a place of a father. We know that 1 John was written somewhere. Now, we've just kind of approximately, I'm going to say 85 A.D., which Jesus, of course, Jesus died in around 30 A.D., and Peter and Paul, they were martyred around 65 A.D., so this is about 20 years or so. Now, there's a little, argument, so some say 90, some say a little sooner, maybe 80, some, but I'm just settling on approximately 85 A.D., approximately, 1 John was written. And we know that his teachings hold to that of Jesus. And John's writing of 1 John in this epistle, we find that it to be quite friendly. It is a lot of his own heart, talking about the fellowship with the Father. Reveals his intimate relationship with God and shows his authority, really, as an apostle here. John says, I'm writing to you. He says, this life that was manifested, we have seen, and we're bearing witness. We saw it. We bore witness to it. We're declaring to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. So he's saying here, I want you to understand there's a fellowship with the Father that brings joy. And I know some have argued and said, well, I don't know, this first chapter, some have said he's not writing to the Christian, but that's exactly who John is writing to. He's writing to believers. He's writing about certain people, and some of the Gnostics had stepped in, which basically they just didn't believe in the fleshly part of Jesus. They didn't really accept that. They just thought the flesh was evil. And things around them were, natural things are just evil. And they didn't accept that, the body of Jesus. And John discusses that in 1 John. He deals a lot of times with love, with light, with knowledge, with life. And then he gives some warnings. He says, watch out for the false prophets. Watch out for the false teachings that are coming about. Some of the heresy that's being said, you must believe that Jesus came in the flesh. Amen? So don't believe every spirit. Don't believe everything that you're hearing, but trust what I'm telling you. I was there. I held him. I saw him. He was the word of life. He was manifested from the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus himself, God himself, came in the flesh. God said, I prepared a body for him. And so we're seeing many of these themes throughout. And of course, love is one dominant theme in 1 John. It's not not really what he's fully talking about, but he's talking about how you can know that you have eternal life and how you can know that you're in fellowship with God. Hallelujah. Possessing love is one dominant theme in 1 John, and possessing love is absolutely necessary. Amen. That one is a Christian, we can know. How many know? He said that we know, 1 John 3:14, he said, you know that you pass from death to life. Why? Because we love the brethren. In other words, there's a nature change on the inside of you, and we love the brethren, and we know that we pass from death to life. He affirms that God is light. Fellowship with God causes us to walk in the light. Amen? When we fellowship with him, we're going to walk in the light. We're going to walk in the truth. We're going to be developed in that truth that he has sent. Amen. Didn't Jesus say, I am what? The light of the world. And then he says, now you, when you're born again, when you have my nature in you, you are the light of the world. And that light shines. We don't hold it under a bushel, do we? We continue to move forward. Amen. Now, the word know is also mentioned in 1 John about 39 different times. So we know he's trying to get something to us. He said, I want you to know the Father. You say you know him? He said, you say that you know him. Do you keep his commandments? He said, if you know me, you'll keep my commands. If you really know the Father. Why? Because the Father loves us. He is love. How many know a father sometimes on a child, a father and mother, they set what? They set the boundaries, don't they? And God loves us, and he sets boundaries for us. He set boundaries in his word for us to follow so that we can know him, so that we can walk with him, so that our life truly belongs to him. We owe him everything, don't we? He said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commands if you truly know him. He says, I know him and does not keep the commandments. He says, he's a liar. The truth's not in him. In other words, if there's really no change in our life, do we truly know him? Have we really received him? Have we really made Jesus the Lord of our life? Hallelujah. We may have limited fellowship sometimes, but we know we can know him. We can walk with him. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 6, it always kills me. It says, he who says he abides or lives in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Oh boy. So who is our example? Jesus is our example. I'm not the example, you're not the example, but Jesus is our example. Even the great apostle Paul and even John himself, he's saying, I'm not really your example, but Jesus is our example. And he is who we are endeavoring to walk with and walk after. Amen? Because we love him. Excuse me. My throat's kind of... feels like the pipe's pinching together in there. Well, praise God. That's better. So, today, let's go down to 1 John, verses 15 through 17. And I'm going to back up just a little bit, and we'll keep on moving here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17 says this, do not love the world... now, or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lusts of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever, or remains, or stays. That word abide, it's living in, isn't it? And we're living in him. He that does the will of God remains forever, or abides forever. And so we see here that God is wanting us to love Him. He is a jealous God, isn't He? The Bible says God is a jealous God. He wants all of us. He wants every part of us. And as His sons and as His disciples, it is a choice. We choose to follow Him. Amen? We choose to lay down our life. Everyone said, well, God chose me. Yes, He did. He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world. He wanted you. He wants everybody. The Bible says that it's God's will and desire that all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. And that is our purpose with God, is to find our place in the family and to do His will. Amen. To follow His commands and to be that witness for Him. How many know that number one, we are to know Him? That's the first thing that He's talking about here. When we know God, last week we talked about a little bit about that, where He said, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. He said, the fathers know Him. Those that are truly in a place of a father, they know God. And John is writing this from the place of a father. He said, I know Him. He'd been knowing Him. This is about 50 years into His ministry. 20 years or so He had walked with God after the death of Paul and Peter and so forth. And many of the disciples have already died. And here is John. He says, I want to tell you something. God, you know, he's saying here, God is love. God's there. He said, fathers know Him. And we talked about we know Him. And then in verse 14, he says, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who's from the beginning. And I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. 1 John 2:14 says, you have overcome the wicked one. John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I've written and spoken to you that you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. That was John 16:33. Hallelujah. I know that sometimes I'm going fast, but here we go. What is overcome means to subdue, to conquer, to overcome, to prevail, or to get the victory. How many have gotten the victory? Amen. You're going to prevail. We're going to overcome. We're going to conquer. What are we conquering, really? We're conquering what? Our own flesh, mostly. But we're conquering also the enemy. It says here, you're strong. The word of God abides in you. You have overcome the wicked one, or you have overcome the enemy. Amen. And it is the one, the wicked one that has come. Satan himself. How many know that we have tests? We have trials. Amen. There are things that come against us. There's things of our own flesh that come a lot of times from the inside out that we have to overcome. Our emotions. How many know sometimes when you get saved, every part of you doesn't change just like that? Why? Because you're born again from the Father. Your nature has changed. Now you want to do righteousness, but you had lived a life after the natural world, after the flesh. But now on the inside, we begin to recognize, because God's law is written on our heart, we know what's right and wrong. We begin to immediately realize, oh, that's not right. Our own heart, our own conscience begins to speak to us more and more from what God has said. And we realize, hey, that's not a good thing to do. You know, we shouldn't be cussing all the time like that. We shouldn't be, maybe you were a smoker, and you think, well, I probably should put that down, or other areas of life. I know, you know, maybe it's alcohol, whatever it is. I'm not saying if you're saved and you're smoking, it doesn't mean you're on your way to, just on your way to hell, but you realize and you recognize, hey, this isn't good. This isn't right. When we recognize that God has something to work with, He works through our inward man and begins to allow that righteousness, that righteous nature that you received when you were born again, and begins to push out what? Unrighteousness. Unrighteousness begins to be forced out, and we begin to walk according to what He has given us. He says, when we're born again, we're that new man, we're to walk according to that new man. Amen? The part of us that's been reborn, that inward nature, and that's what we're all continuing to do, is learning and developing and allow our new nature to have the ascendancy, our spiritual being, which was birthed from the Father, and to walk according to our inward man and not our outward fleshly desire. Hallelujah. Well, it's good anyway. He said, love not the world or the things in the world. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in Him. And so there is a battle. There was a battle too with Jesus. How many remember? Luke 4, 5 through 7. Let's take a look there for a minute. Luke chapter 4, verse number 5. It says here, then the devil, of course here Jesus was baptized and He is filled with the Holy Spirit, and He returns from Jordan and was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. And verse 4 says, but Jesus answered him, because Satan had come. Well, let's just start here, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days and by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Hallelujah. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Hallelujah. How many know that Jesus had to defeat the enemy? He defeated him in different areas of his life, but the Bible says He was tempted in every way, just like you and I, yet without sin. And here Jesus, in this instance, He doesn't dispute the fact that all the kingdoms of the world have been delivered to Satan. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein. But here He's talking about the world system. For Adam had delivered them to Him when he sinned. And remember what John said, the whole world lies in the power of the wicked one. And the Apostle Paul gives us that witness also in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so here we see that there is a place, a world system, that the enemy does somewhat control. He is the God of this world. But God is still Lord of all. Amen. And when we call upon Him, and He needs us, He needs us to exercise the authority that He's given to us in the earth. How many know Jesus is not on the earth right now? He doesn't have the human body right now. Well, He may have a human body, I should say that. But He is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And He says, that power He's given to us. He's given us that authority. And he needs us to remain and to use that authority that we can enforce his purposes, his will in the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. John 15, let's read there for a minute. Here he's saying, you know, that the earth, John is remembering some things. When Jesus says this, John 15, 18 through 20, it says, if the world hates you, you knew that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of this world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. And so it was those that were what, like proud, wealthy, the learned men of authority and a power. And they opposed Jesus, didn't they? It wasn't those that were weak and you know, not even really those that were living a sinful lifestyle, but the religious that were living a religious lifestyle, apart really from thinking they were knowing God. So we'll find God. We'll do everything just so, but there was no real true salvation. It was all pointing to Jesus. And some of them missed the mark, didn't they? They persecuted him. But Jesus is our example, and we know that no amount of persecution could stop him. And he overcame everything that the world threw at him, and so do we. When the world comes against us, we can overcome. The Father says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Amen. Your nature, the change of our nature alone, is powerful enough to defeat and to conquer sin. We have to see it clearly that there's a warfare between the kingdom of God and the world. They're just as opposed to one another as your reborn human spirit is to our flesh, or the lust of the flesh, I should say. Hallelujah. You know, our fleshly man doesn't care. The Bible even says what? We can't. The carnal mind, the natural mind, cannot really understand the things of God. It doesn't care about them at all, nor can it do so. It cannot. It is impossible. That's why a lot of times we have some crazy ideas. People get all kinds of things because we try to use our natural mind to discern what God has given us spiritually. And we must listen to our inward man. We must listen to the Holy Spirit. And John even describes that. He says, you've been given a new nature. You've been given a spirit that comes from God. And you have the Holy Spirit in you. You need not that any man teach you, but you have a spirit already. And it begins to teach you. You begin to know truth from error. Not that we don't have teachers in the body of Christ. We do. We have ministers and teachers and those that bring forth the word. But it will witness with your heart, with your spirit. 1 John 2, verse 20 and verse 27 both. We see that. Let's see. Hallelujah. 1 John 2, 20 says this, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. He said, there's an anointing on you. There's a presence on you. God lives in you. It is the nature of Christ that moved into you. Yes, you have your own nature, but it's now been born again. So it's righteous, like that was, like Jesus had a righteous nature. How many know he was alive from the Father from the beginning? The moment he came into the earth, he was the only true born-again man on the earth, the only one that really was alive to the Father. How would you like to be the only one on earth that knew God, that was right with God? See, we needed that Savior. We had to have him because God could not find a righteous man on the earth. He said, there's none righteous. There's not someone that can stand in the gap for man. I'm going to have to send a man from the outside. And he gained permission from man to come into the earth to send his son from heaven. He said, I will go. He says to the Father, God set the plan in motion. Jesus said, I'll go. I'll redeem them. The Holy Spirit says, I'll fill them. Hallelujah. I'll cause them to be reborn, to receive. Their nature will go from death to life. He said, we're regenerated. In other words, we're a different kind of being now. We're not exactly like Adam and Eve because they had a glorified body. But we're like them on the inside. Our inward man is now changed and alive to the Father. And now we have authority in the earth and we have dominion to walk with God in righteousness and true holiness and to walk before Him with honor and to be able to dispel the work of the enemy, to hold him at bay. We overcome. Hallelujah. How many are glad you're an overcomer? Right? What do we say? Overcome, to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory. We've adopted some phrase here, push. We pray until something happens. That means we get the victory. We're not stopping until we get what God desires in every situation that we're praying for. At least that's what we're pressing until all things are possible. How many believe that? With God, the Bible says, all things are possible. Job said, I know that my God can do anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's nothing impossible with God. And He lives in us. But it was those that were proud when we have to, what? Humble ourselves, don't we? We have to lay down our life. He says, we're to love not our lives unto death. Well, the thing is, we present ourselves, what, a living sacrifice. Well, what is that? What do you mean, Lord? I thought I'm supposed to die. I do die, but I die to my fleshly nature. I die to this world system. I die to the things that would pull me away from knowing God, and I begin to learn to live according to my inward man, and let the things of my outward man fall off of me as I grow and mature with God. Hallelujah. So we see clearly here the warfare. There is a warfare. Just like our flesh does not always want, you know, let our spirit do what it wants. Why? We have fleshly emotions, don't we? You have some fleshly desires, things of the flesh, that try to pull us away and lure us away. But how many know we can crucify that? He said, through the Spirit, through our inward man, through letting the Holy Spirit have His way in our life, we crucify the outward man and we allow the inward man to live. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for that great new birth that we have received. So they're opposites, aren't they? And they're never going to agree with each other. Our outward man and our inward man are not going to agree. But we decide to give ourselves to Him. And we realize the rest of my life, I don't get my own way. I get to follow Him. The Apostle James said in James 4:4, he talked about the adulterers and adulteresses. They become, what, friends of the world. Hebrews James. James 4:4. James 4:4 says this, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Ooh. So he's just saying here, when we, you know, I think sometimes maybe he's talking to North America. You know, we love our we love our creature comforts, don't we? You know, we love our creature comforts. And God's not all opposed. He's not opposed to having things, but they're not to rule our life. He is to rule our life, amen? We're not to be at that place, and we can have wisdom from heaven, and that's why we want to partner with God. We want to be His ambassadors, His disciples, ones that are disciplined to walk with Him. Why? So that He gets to do what He desires. He wants to see more people saved. He wants to see more people healed. He wants to see more people free. Amen. Delivered from oppression, healed of hurts, where His power can be displayed. How many know Jesus displayed? He didn't just say things, but He showed things, didn't He? He says, if you don't believe me for what I've said, believe me for the work's sake, the things that you see me do. John said in the book of John, I don't think there's, you know, we have certain things Jesus did, and it says many times He healed them all, didn't He? He healed them all. Every person that came to Jesus, there's not one He turned away and said, come back later. He may have had to teach them a little bit. He may have had to say something to them. Oh, only believe. Don't let go. Somebody came and tried to lead them away, but He said, only believe. If we can believe. And that's one thing that John talks about here in the book of 1 John, to believe. He said, are you going to believe that He is the Christ? He came in the flesh. Anyone that denies that He came in the flesh doesn't know me. They are not really of me. They're not of us. We must understand there's a truth. And John is bringing forth this truth. How do I know that I know Him? I keep His commandments. I keep His word. I walk with Him. I allow love to dominate me. My nature, my new nature, He says, I love the brethren. How do I know that I'm a good father in the fatherhood of God? Allowing myself to help others, I know Him. To know Him is to obey Him. To know Him is to love Him and let love flow through us and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we talked about that. We said, well, who's our neighbor? And we went to, you know, the great story that we all know. The Samaritan, right, who was on the way. Here's someone that's been injured on the road and the priest goes by on the other side and here comes another one and but here he goes, the Samaritan comes. See, they hated them. They didn't like the Samaritans. But Jesus says, who did what was right? The Samaritan did. In other words, I want to tell you something. There is hope for all. He said, I'm interested in everybody. No one is left out. And we are, you know, really, here he says, we are a spouse. We are the bride of Christ, right? We belong to Him and Him alone. We've got no business getting in bed with the things of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen? And so Jesus said, you're not of the world. He's chosen us out of the world. And the world may hate you. But don't be surprised when it persecutes you. It persecuted me. Today, of course, if we say sin is sin, what happens? The world hates us, doesn't it? It labels us. You're a bigot. You're a hater. And we see this in the Bible, don't we? It said in the last day, they'll call evil good and good evil. You know? When you call just rampant abortion murder, the world hates us. You're a hater of women. You don't love women. No, we love all. And we believe even a child within that woman has the right to live. They think you're the deceiver. They think you're wrong, but what has God said? God said, I love. You know, many times they'll call you what? Intolerant, and we're the most tolerant people around. Most I've ever seen is really the Christian we tolerate. And maybe we've tolerated some things too much because we haven't really given the truth. And sometimes the Bible says they'll know the truth and the truth will make them free. And many times people have come and they haven't heard really the truth. You know, I think of the two angels that went to Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember they went to Lot's house and the men wanted to do, you know, wanted to have sex with them. It's terrible. These men wanted to get these angels. And the angels reach out and they get blinded. Do they care? No. I used to think, well, it wasn't that violent of a thing, you know, but these people became violent and tried to ram down the door and they still wanted to get in. Let us have our way with them. You know, how could they possibly come here and not be like us? It's one of the only places that God really destroyed directly from heaven. And Peter said it was a warning for all of those who choose to live ungodly. 2 Peter 2:6 says, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, 2 Peter 2:6, turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that afterward should live ungodly. Satan's been so crafty, hasn't he? He's very deceptive, and he's very good at it. He knows he can't get most Christians to sell out to blatant sin, so he uses other tactics. And Jesus warns the disciples, doesn't he? He says in Mark chapter 4, 18 and 19, says, and these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word of God and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, they choke the word. It becomes unfruitful. John remembers well the teachings of Jesus. And that's why he begins to write in 1 John chapter 2. And we already read this, but we'll read it again. 15, don't love the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not truly in them. In other words, their heart is what? Divided. They say, well, you know, sometimes people say, well, I love God, but I love the world, but really they love the world. If we're really truly living according to our place with God, our fellowship with God, we're not going to love the world. We're going to hate the things of the world, the sin of the world. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. He's going to love one and hate the other, or else he's going to hold to one and despise the other. We can't serve God and mammon. And as the Holy Spirit is to the kingdom of God, so mammon is to the kingdom of the world, isn't it? Money tends to rule the world, run the world. In the same way, the Holy Spirit gives us power in God's kingdom. The anointing of God, his power. And, money really rules the world system. You know, if you get enough money, if you have enough money, you can go out and buy your own little island, can't you? You could hire an army. You could proclaim yourself the king. You can make your own laws. You can make your own, you know, little god of your own world. But you're going to find out one day that money is a poor god when we need a healing in your body. Money is a poor god when it comes to keeping you from being, from eternal life, from really knowing God. He said, some have gained the whole world and lost their soul. I remember I used to pray that many times. I worked for this rich lady, and I would be praying for her, and I'd drive this tractor around mowing the grass. It was 14 acres. It wasn't really manicured, but it was very nice, almost manicured. And then there's 5 acres around the house that was really manicured. And a lot of times I'd be mowing that grass, just praying for her. Someone gains the whole world and loses their soul. What do they have? They have nothing. Because the Bible says it's passing away, isn't it? It says, verse 16, for all that is in this world, in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God shall abide forever. We abide with him, knowing God, walking with him, doing his will is so beneficial. It's a profit. This is not to be condemnation to anyone. This is hope that we can know him. This is hope we can walk with him. We can have power with him. As we lay down our life, we say, Lord, have your way. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 6:10, Paul said, as poor, yet making many rich, and having yet nothing, yet possessing all things. Mammon never says enough, does it? The love of money. I've met some millionaires, and it seems like they're still focused on gathering more, amen? Sometimes that can be the focus. Now, it's one thing. Hey, if God's called you to that, praise God. That's not an easy call, is it? Because we have to die to the things of the world. You know, he said, well, God's called me. Well, you might want to say, well, Lord, what do you want me to live on? You know, if somebody makes $10 million and lives on $1 million, that's pretty good. You know, it's not bad. Depending on where he's called you and how he's called you. But you become that steward of what's left. It belongs to him. You said, well, I'm going to steward this for you, Father. Where would you have me place it? What is my place? See, we don't understand sometimes. That could be a call of someone in the kingdom. He's not opposed to us being rich or a person being rich, but he is opposed to us being covetous and us allowing that to control our life and not being sold out to him. He wants us. He wants all of us. He wants every part of us. And when we do the will of God, we're going to abide forever. We're going to overcome, aren't we? We're going to have the victory. We're going to possess the land that he has promised us. How many are believing for revival in this city? Amen. We're believing that Jesus is going to be Lord of this city fully and completely. We're believing that God's going to bring revival. That means that he gets to have his way. You know, real revival is when the presence of God comes on a place. Amen. So strong. Then what? The bars begin to close. The bars begin to close. People begin to talk about, how can I know God? How can I find him? Their hearts begin to be convicted. And this has happened in history, where the glory of God, the presence of God, filled a whole city. It's not an easy thing, but it's a possible thing. How many believe that it's possible? And that we can journey on our journey as we lay our lives down. We allow ourselves to say, hey, I'm going to do the will of God. The world may be passing away and the lust of it, but we're going to do the will of God, because we're going to live what? Forever, aren't we? Amen. We're going to lay up treasures in heaven, and we're going to walk with him. Show forth love, righteousness, holiness. Glory to God. What an honor to walk with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the truth of your word, that, Father, that we know that we pass from death to life because we love you, Lord, and that we know you and we decide and we choose to obey your commandments. And Father, that we become strong in the Word of God and we overcome the wicked one. Father, we love you. We want to honor you. We want to represent you well. We want to do your will. In the mighty name of Jesus.